6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by the Full Press Coverage Network and CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Although CanucksHockeyBlog.com is now dead, and the Full Press Coverage Network doesn't talk to us. So this episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast is brought to you by me, Chris at Lightforce, and Anna Forsythe at E4C03. Welcome, Anna.
Yeah. Aren't we enough? We're enough to bring ourselves a podcast.
Maybe you don't
feel like it today, but...
No, I don't. I got the plague. Baby Force brought it home. Was it 2 weeks ago? And... like, she has a fever. We keep her home for a day. The fever breaks. She goes to school. The next morning, she's, like, coughing up a lung. Keep her home again. Then she's better. So let's say that's, like, 2.5 days. The wife got sick, I don't know, midway through last week. And I thought, oh, okay, I'm not feeling that bad. I've made it this far. Now I'm just, like, 2.5 days behind her, and I'm hitting the, I don't know, I was going to say the bottom, but who knows at this point. Yeah, I just feel like crud.
Yeah.
But here I am to talk to you.
Oh, yeah. I might be doing some of the heavy lifting this episode, but, you know.
Might be. You do the heavy lifting all the time. I just show up to, like, share my voice. That's all I do. But we're here to talk about the Vancouver Canucks over the course of the past week, where they took on the Ducks, the Golden Knights, and the Flames. And then obviously we'll set up the week that it will be, where the Canucks are going to take on the Devils, the Wild, and the Hurricanes. A trade took place, which, again, is something. Was there two trades? Were two trades. I describe it as one. But really, you're right. It was two separate trades, but yeah. So yeah, we'll get into all that and all sorts of other hijinks, but I'm sick. So no sense wasting time, because who knows when I'll just pass out and start drilling on the keyboard. Let's rewind. All right, let's talk about the trades first. So the Vancouver Canucks found a willing partner for Beauvillier. They sent him to Chicago for a fifth-round pick, a conditional fifth-round pick. Did you know that it was conditional, Anna?
I did, but it took me a while to get a hold of the conditions, which are that the Canucks would receive the best of the fifth-round pick that Chicago possessed, and Toronto would receive the worst pick, which, I mean, I'm always in favor of, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it didn't matter, really, because, what, 2 days later? A day later? How long can you hold on to a pick?
Well, I mean, if you're a Vancouver Canuck, not very long. I mean, last year, when was it that the Canucks got picks and were like, wow, great deal, and then they traded them away, and they're like, no! Was that the Horvat deal? I'm trying to think when it was.
Yeah, that was trade. Yep. That went away. At least we had it for longer than a couple days before it went to Detroit. But yeah. That
Ironic.
Didn't last long either.
Didn't play. But, you know, fast forward to where we are now. I'm not entirely upset about that deal. Maybe the dogs that are currently barking upstairs are. Some backstory off the rails. My sister decided that she'd cash in on a cheap flight to Hawaii. And she took my parents, which are normally her dog sitters when she's away. So I currently have 3 miniature schnauzers in my home. Hey, Anna, do you know what has more energy than 1 miniature schnauzer?
Three miniature schnauzers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Plus, you've got a cat thrown in the mix there, so.
Yeah, she's down here with me somewhere. So if she, you know, you're purring on the mic, it's either her or I've fallen asleep. One of the two, your guess. What I was going to say is the Ronick deal actually doesn't look that bad now that we are here where he is playing and playing really well. But when the deal went down and he wasn't playing, it was like, oh my goodness. Tyler Myers all over again.
Yeah. But yeah, that is to say, like, even, yeah, looking back at these two trades, do we love giving out picks? No. But, like, getting a pick back from Beauvillier, which, like, is an essentially a cap dump pick. Cap dump trade there. You know, like, that was just a bonus, getting a pick in there, and then you can use those for trades, like...
Which they did 2 days later.
Yeah, money can be exchanged for goods and services.
Yeah, the thing about that first deal, though, is when people saw it go down, they're like, wait, all you got for Beauvillier is a fifth-round pick. And I think those who were sensible were like, yes, that's maybe not great value, but look at the cap space that has been freed up. There's probably something more in the works. And a name that had been sort of rumored for a while, but no one could sort of foresee how it would all work, was this guy by the name of Nikita Zadorov out of Calgary, who had requested a trade. So 2 days later, Vancouver puts that fifth round pick to use. They slap it with a third round pick from Vancouver and send those two picks to Calgary for Nikita Zadorov. So why I thought it is one trade is the Canucks essentially sent Beauvillier and a third round pick for Zadorov and a little bit of cap space.
Right. And I believe the third round pick is in 2026, right?
Yeah, it's not next. It's not this season. It's not next season. It's like,
yeah, Canucks two seasons from now. Won a cup by then, so it's fine.
Oh, one, two. They're going to win this year. We already know that. And then the following season, at that point, you're right. Doesn't matter.
Definitely. Yeah, it's funny you talked about the, like, noise, the rumors, right, about Zadorov, Zadorov, however we're saying it. Like, how much of that was Dan Milstein? Like, just being like, oh, yeah, it would be a great fit for my client.
Well, it wouldn't be his client any longer, just to, you know, throw that out there. Because he is obviously, you know, an assistant general manager.
Right, yeah.
Right. He's not on the payroll. But
yeah, so I mean, this happens in football quite a bit.
Vancouver Whitecaps under, was it Mark Robinson? Essentially had an agent, and on his half of his roster played for the damn team. Mm. I'm so well used to it in the football side.
Super quick off the rails.
Oh, we can always do off the rails.
The Whitecaps coach Santorini, is that his name?
Vanni Sartini.
Sartini. Getting like anger management, like,
okay,
assessment as his punishment. Yeah,
so he
was so funny to me.
He definitely was going to get the book thrown at him. And the way that Major League Soccer handles these things is kind of weird, because for a while it almost looked like they were just giving him a game, which would be the game he gets for the red alone, because like their disciplinary committee had already met multiple times. The, you know, supplementary discipline page had been updated multiple times, including the update that gave Vanny his one match. But no, they tacked on five more for his actions. I mean, let's be honest. The guy absolutely lost his gourd, was flipping the bird, came back out on the field after the match, and then in the press conference off the record, which unfortunately got published as on the record, made a comment along the lines that if the referee were to wind up in False Creek, the Vancouver police would probably have to pay him a visit.
I do get it. Like, you have to throw the book at him, but, like, I don't see, to me, the anger management assessment. Just to me, it just gave the idea that, like, whenever a player is caught doing something drunk and they're just like, oh, yeah, I'm talking to the player assistance program. It's like, okay, you did one dumb drunk thing. There's a real difference between...
Well, with Vanny, though, It's his thing. Like, his emotion gets the best of him. Like, he wears his heart on his sleeve. Like, he's just demonstrative. He's done stupid things. Yeah. He's very noisy and like swings his arms around. Honestly, yeah, more of a sideshow than anything. Yeah. But I understand why this happened. And then he got slapped with a pretty hefty fine too.
So. Yeah. Well, he needs next time take a leaf out of. And I don't say this lightly, take a leaf out of Jose's book and just give the whole, if I say anything, I'm be in big trouble. line, and that says enough.
Not the Tortorella book, which is storm the opposing team's dressing room and be held back by staff and players. Well, he didn't go full torts. He went half torts. Like, he got the demonstrative stuff, but he isn't actually going after anyone. He was just, yeah.
Yeah.
Putting on some entertainment. Back to the Canucks, though. Zadorov, just so you know, we'll talk about in a moment, did suit up against his former team in his first game as a Vancouver Canuck. But, you know, you have here in the rundown, like, where does this leave the Canucks on both Tanev and Bear? And I'm of the thought that Tanev and Bear are next year pieces. And Zadorov being a UFA at the end of the season, I don't have an issue if the Canucks look to make a play for him. But the money needs to be right. And right now the Canucks still have some money issues.
Yeah, you're right. I'm still curious about the Bear piece. Like, I definitely think Tanev takes a backseat for now. And Canucks will see where they are in the offseason. But yeah, I think it really still depends on, like, how Ethan Bear looks. Like, significant injury to come back from. But, like, already we're seeing the difference that having a more depth to your defense can give your stars, right? Like, Hughes and Hronek don't have to play 30 minutes a night.
Hey, in the game last night, did you see who was getting some solid minutes? Actually, more than Hughes at one point.
Was it our good friend Tyler Myers?
He was.
Yep.
Yep. And, like, you look at the pairings, he's, like, the third line pairing, and here he was after, like, one period, like, 7 minutes, which is interesting. But, hey, whatever. I love Ethan Bear. I really wish he had not suffered the injury because he would have been a Vancouver Canuck right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know where he fits in this current team beyond depth. And until next season, when those sort of questions can sort of be answered again. I'm not knocking him, but, like,
I don't know. Give me a Huggy Bear pairing all day.
Okay. Well, let's talk a little bit about the Vancouver Canucks over the course of this week. So they started their week off taking on a team that you and I had both said was a team they must beat in the Anaheim Ducks. They did beat the Ducks.
They did.
3-1. Very confidently, right? Very confidently. Had no worries whatsoever.
Yeah. There was no point at which I thought the Canucks are going to screw this up. Yeah, they just really made hard work of it. It's just, like, out of a team of sort of developing team, right? Like, Anaheim Ducks are, like, one of those teams. They're, like, a few years behind LA, you would say, like, in developing a team to sort of replace their aging superstars. They're not there yet, but no. Canucks wanted to make them look like they were.
Well, it's interesting, like, when you watch the game, I mean, the shots alone, Anaheim, the fact that they didn't come out of the second period with a lead was a miracle into itself if you're a Canucks fan. But I don't know if it was a matter of Anaheim just had its confidence shattered in the second intermission, or if the Vancouver Canucks suddenly decided, oh, crap, so third period already.
Yeah, better start playing.
Yeah, I mean, I think at one point they had like 10 shots to the Ducks 0 in the third period. And to put this into perspective, the Canucks had 12 shots through the first two periods in its entirety.
Yeah, and they still didn't catch up with Anaheim by the end, did they?
No, I don't think they did. Like, they outshot them by like 3 or 4 times in the third period. But yeah, it was nuts. But the Canucks, again, you know, held on and did what they needed to do in the third period to get the job done. I mean, Petey getting that goal to go ahead, and then it didn't stop there. Like, their pressure that they then exerted did not allow for the Ducks to find their way back into the game. And, you know, the empty net goal by Besser.
Yeah.
Icing on the cake.
Tips from Louis.
Yeah. You know, Brock got himself two goals in that game. This is a kid who is
Brock's here, man.
Yeah, I mean, is he in a contract year, actually?
No.
If he is, kid's going to get paid. No? Okay, well, good thing the kid's not going to get paid. I'm actually going to look that up right now. I'd come prepared. But, sir, yeah, he's a UFA in 25-26.
Yeah.
So we got him for next year. But got some confidence. Canucks beat the Ducks. They got the win. Take a shot at the Golden Knights, a much stronger team, probably one of the strongest teams that the Canucks will have faced so far. And anyhow, I don't really want to talk about that game.
That's totally fair. Like, it's kind of like we said they had to beat Anaheim, and they did, but... And, like, we didn't expect them to win against Vegas, and they didn't. But, like, the fact they couldn't even compete... Like,
yeah.
That's troubling, right? Like, Canucks are, what, second or third in the West? Like, under Vegas? And it's like, well, are they going to get, like, close to them? Because they did look close on the ice.
Well, I mean, what was it? Vegas had 40-some-odd shots. Vancouver had, like, 20-some-odd. I feel sorry for Demko because he was getting absolutely no help constantly. In front of him. And sure, Kuzmenko scores a goal and the Canucks are starting to play well in the third. But when you're down 4-0, I don't know if that's cue the comeback time. And you could tell, like when Kuzmenko scored the goal, the team wasn't all that excited. They're like, yay, we wrecked it.
You know, what's super funny is that I watched the first two periods in a bar. I walked in the rain without an umbrella to a car like 10 minutes away, listening to the game, third period. The only like bits of the game I quote unquote missed was getting into that car. Guess when the Canucks scored?
Kuzi got his goal when you're getting into a car and not able to watch the game. Got it.
Yeah.
You should just walk around Vancouver getting soaked in the rain more often.
Yeah, apparently.
Speaking of which, batten those hatches, atmospheric river en route.
Just like before, 2 years ago, I'd never heard the term atmospheric river. I never want to know what that means.
Had you heard the term Pineapple Express in the context of weather?
No.
Okay. Growing up, we would always hear about the Pineapple Express, which was essentially the conduit of precipitation that would, you could see the satellite clouds from like Hawaii to the Pacific Northwest. And so what would occur is all of this moisture would funnel up, it would be warm, and then it would hit land and it would proceed to drop. Hence why we would just get these deluges of rain this time of year. I believe the actual meteorological term is an atmospheric river, is that there's that much water in a sort of straight line and then falling out of the sky when it hits land. So.
Yeah, I don't know much about rivers, but I know they shouldn't be in the atmosphere.
Yeah, well, so. When they get here, they're not any longer. And moving on from that game, I forgot against Vegas. The Canucks were in Calgary for a Hockey Night in Canada matchup. Fresh off of a trade where the Vancouver Canucks acquired a player who the Calgary faithful proceeded to boo all night long.
Yep.
So much so that it was actually a talking point during Hockey Night in Canada.
Well, let's be honest. One, they sometimes struggle for talking points. But true. We've talked about this before. I like to see a bit of bite in hockey fans, honestly. Yeah. And like he openly requested a trade, so fair enough.
Oh, if the role was reversed, I'd have booed him. Like you request out, man. And like is the thing. Juice was talking about getting booed. I don't recall Juice ever getting booed in Vancouver, but then he was talking about getting booed in Calgary. But, like, I could totally see, like, Flames fan booing Juice when he was a Canuck.
Especially after the whole Michael Backlund wars.
Yeah. Let's talk a little about this game. The Vancouver Canucks, for a 4-3 score, were essentially in control for 95% of this game.
Yeah. But that 5%, like, whoo.
Well, okay.
Like, they got close.
They did. So if you had, let's say, turned it off after Petey scores his goal to make it a 4-2 lead. So this is in the third period, empty net goal, 4-2. Great. You'd think that that's the, you know, final goal of the game. Everyone go home. Many of the Flames fans did. The Vancouver Canucks were like, you know, I want to really rub it in here. All these fans leaving the building. Let's make it interesting. And they proceed to get penalized only for Lindholm to score within like seconds.
Seconds. And then them get pretty close.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. When Demko lost his stick. With what was it like 30 some odd seconds left? I'm like, oh no, this is where the goal's gonna go in. And I mean,
wasn't that how the Anaheim goal went in? Was Demko losing his stick?
I think so.
Yeah,
it was. And there was a part of me, I said this on Threads, there was a part of me that actually wouldn't have been too unhappy if the Flames were to have tied it up, so long as the Canucks were to have won it in overtime or a shootout. Only to really stick it to the fans that were leaving the building. Because I'm that guy. I don't leave. Like, until that final whistle goes, I'm not going to go. I mean, it could be a blowout where it's pretty safe to leave, and I'm not going to do it.
It's just like, you've paid, like, especially going to the Canucks, you've paid a chunk of money to get in the building. You probably spent a bunch on food and maybe a few adult beverages as well. Like, you've got to stay till the end.
Yeah.
Get your money's worth.
And, you know, for those who were in the building, they did get some good money or good value for the money they spent. I mean, if you were a Flames fan, you saw the Flames kill off a lengthy, you know, two-man advantage where Vancouver couldn't get anything. They were moving the puck around well, but yeah. Calgary was just getting in every shooting lane possible and not providing Vancouver the opportunity to get that pristine opportunity. And maybe you could argue, well, Vancouver did get a couple of chances, but they misfired. So, you know, on top of that, you have Calgary continuing to remain engaged throughout. Yes, I talk about the Petey goal, which if Zadorov were to explain it, was very clearly tipped by Petey, though having watched the replay, I don't believe it.
I literally watched it 5 times after you said that. And I was just like, okay.
Well, like he was pointing right away at Petey. Like, it's like he
which knew what I mean. Yeah.
Okay, sure. But then he's like, well, you could clearly see it. Like, could, we have the benefit of slow-mo. And it didn't seem all that apparent to me. But this game was tight, right? Like, you had the Canucks up by 2 halfway through the first, only for Backlund to score a power play goal. Make it 2-1. Mikheyev scores in the second. Canucks back in the driver's seat. Lindholm scores third. Close. Like, it was a very tight game. And I actually credit Vancouver for doing what they could to hold on, albeit a little bit anxiously at moments.
Yeah. And you're right. If we are, like, to credit Vancouver with staying in games late, we've got to credit them for, like, staying in the win. So yeah, fair enough, but it was a bit nervy for sure. But yeah, was interested to see Lafti and Mikheyev get in with Petey, and then turns out that's just all he needed. He looked great.
Yeah, but you know, I kind of feel like Petey is like a Sedin. Like, is it really important that the two people that he's with are good? I think it's that the two people he's with either do one of two things, get open or find him when he's open.
Yeah, no, 100%. But that's kind of it, right? Like, Sam Lafti, like, we've talked about his success since he came to Vancouver as a role player, like, staying in his lane, so to speak, and, like, you wouldn't think that would suit playing on a line with Pedersen, but it kind of does, because it's just, like, hang out by the net, because you'll probably get a shot there.
Yeah. I always remember a comment that Trevor Linden made near the end of his career, where he would be paired with the Sedins, primarily on the power play, But he had said how, I know my job. I go to the front of the net and I stick my butt out and I bank it in. And you know, knowing that role allows for you to succeed, but also your line mates to succeed. And I think that that's what's very clear here is that so long as Petey gets line mates that sort of know their role within the context, it works out well. You could say the same, like, you know, Burroughs with the Sedins. Not to suggest Burroughs was Linden. He brought an entirely different dynamic.
He had the chemistry. He knew, like, you know, he was the triplet. Like, he knew where to be in.
Anson Carter, Jason King.
Mm-hmm. There were many. Pylon.
Right? Many, many. Trent Klatt. Many, many names, triplets over the years. Yeah. But the Canucks got a possible 4 points out of six, which is one more than you and I said they'd get.
True.
Yeah. Which, you know, ultimately is a win. Yeah, right?
Yeah. And then...
go ahead.
No, I think we're both about to say the same thing, just looking at the week coming up.
Yeah. Canucks take on the Devils. Derby. Right? Yeah. Hughes and Hughes versus Hughes.
Yep.
I guess the parents are probably flying in for this one.
You'd think.
Right? Like, wasn't it the Hughes mother who wore, like, the split jersey?
I remember Miller's mother doing that, Ryan Miller's mother with Drew.
Maybe that was what I was misremembering.
To me, I'm just saying, like, Jill Hughes, like, she doesn't seem the type to do a split jersey. Yeah. I don't know. She has a little bit of hockey pedigree, so I wonder. Yeah. But, you know, like, whatever. Proud mom.
Well, you know, how does this work, though? Like, I mean, you're happy for your kids, but is there, like, a favorite? Do you cheer for them just a little bit more?
Well, because there's, like, two on one team. You're just like, well.
Yeah, but that doesn't... Like, let's say they like Quinn the most.
I mean, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, sure, right? For a variety of different reasons, but...
Quinn Hughes also doesn't complain about legitimate hits.
Mm-hmm.
Shade. Mm-hmm. Shade to Jack there. Sorry.
So, yeah, you got the Devils coming into town. The Devils themselves are struggling. Just above 500 on the season. I'd have to think Vancouver gets the edge here in the Hughes Derby.
Yep. Although they have struggled a lot against New Jersey, usually in New Jersey, but like in general.
That's Tuesday night's matchup. On Thursday, the Minnesota Wild.
One more thing on the Devils game. It's, I believe, the Indigenous night, and if you haven't seen the like jersey, I forgot the word logo there, the new Indigenous logo that was designed, it looks sick. So look it up.
And you won't see it on the ice.
No, of course.
Yeah. Do you think any of the players in the Canucks organization would go as far as Flower did?
I mean, but like, who would we do?
Well, that's the thing, is I don't know.
I don't know if we would have like a player with a connection.
Well, Fleury's also reached that point in his career where, like, what are they going to do? Throw him out of the league?
Yeah, yeah. But like, if Ethan Bear was here, maybe.
Yeah. Could you imagine if he was here and the league then trying to do something about it?
Yeah. Like, I would hope not. I mean, like, tonight, Hockey is for Everyone night in Boston. A few players were playing with, like, pride tape and on their socks or the six. So I hope that happens in January and Canucks version of the same thing.
Yeah. So Thursday night is Minnesota Wild. They come rolling into town. Oh, you're going to that game. Is that a Lars Eider's night? Or is that just an Anagosta night?
No, it is a Lars Eider's night. It's also my netball Christmas party.
Oh.
And it's my work Christmas party the day before.
Is that all happening at the Raj? Or are you having to split your time?
It's not, but it's happening pretty close to the Raj, which is almost worse. Because it's like, I can go to both. So, yeah. Interesting week for me.
Yeah. The Wild, below 500. This is another game that the Vancouver Canucks should, quote-unquote, have the edge for. All right. And then
Bessa, Hattie, book it.
Yeah. Oh, just a Hattie? I thought he's going to get five. He already got four this season. Can't remember what her name was, but she won $100,000, and then she got to meet Brock, and they shook his hand, gave her a jersey.
That's cool.
Yeah, but he gets five. That's $1,000,000. No Canuck has done it yet. A number have got done four. Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday. Hurricanes are in town. And, you know, when the Hurricanes come to town, it's usually a good game. This is actually probably an even matchup, arguably. And maybe the one game where Vancouver doesn't notch a win. Not to be pessimistic.
No, but so how many points are we saying?
That's four.
Yeah, four.
I mean, I'm going to be optimistic. Five.
I'm going for
take a shootout loss against Carolina. I mean, the rest of the homestand is not entirely pretty. That we'll talk about when we get together next week. Teams that historically Vancouver hasn't done so hot against come rolling into town.
Yikes.
Yeah. I said five, you said four. Watch the Canucks somehow magically get seven. They'll be gifted a bonus point for being such good sports.
That'd be great.
Yeah. Anyhow, we'll take a short break. You're listening to the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Chris and Anna.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? Is that because he was mad?
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
What's going on down the Trans-Canada there, Anna?
It's been a fun weekend, I would say, for the little baby Canucks there. It's been a fun week or so, I would say, as well. Anyone that follows me on Twitter, which I hope is everyone, if you're not following me, why the heck not? But knows that I like to make a meme every time the baby Canucks play the Calgary Wranglers, as they did last weekend. What do I like about playing the Calgary Wranglers? Nothing. Canucks, baby Canucks often lose to them. They're one of the strongest teams in the league. Certainly strongest in the West. I don't enjoy playing them. Like, they're very good. and Canucks usually don't play their best game against them. But yeah, like, they absolutely dominated in their second game there. They beat them 3-1 on last Saturday, beat them 7-2 on the Sunday. And then moving on to this weekend, which was against the Laval Rocket, you know, formerly under Alex Burrow's tutelage.
Mm-hmm. Before he went up to the big club.
Faces? Yeah, I know. Another familiar face was on the ice. Brady Keeper of the Abbotsford, formerly of the Abbotsford Canucks, broke his leg during training camp. I'm sure remembers that. So it was so good to sort of see him playing again. And he scored, so fair play to him. Talk about booing on the ice, though. There was a player whose last name is Trudeau.
Oh.
Unfortunate.
That's unfortunate.
But yes, every single time he touched the puck, he got booed. So,
you know,
I liked it for the banter.
I understand as to the unfortunate surname. But there's also a part of me that genuinely wonders, are there people in that barn that think there's a relation there?
Yeah, true.
Right.
I mean, like, I'm still like kind of don't believe that the Ferrari that plays for the Sharks isn't related to Ray. He says it's not no relation, but I don't know. Hockey pedigree.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I wonder if that happens. Like, you know, when they play the Wranglers, for instance.
Yeah, maybe. But I bet it doesn't happen when they go down to the States.
Oh, no, no. I mean, and to put this into perspective for those listeners who may not be fully, you know, fingers on the pulse of the Canadian geopolitical scene, there are certain regions of our country who have a strong dislike of our current prime minister than others. And if you think of sort of the regionality, if, let's say, this young man were to play at the Raj, there'd be some booing, but probably not so much. In Abbotsford, however, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that is the funny thing. It's like, I agree with you, but probably for completely different reasons.
Yeah.
Anyway, that aside, just a really great couple of weekends of games, and mainly because of who was on the score sheet. We know the star players down in Abbotsford, the people we're hoping to see in adult Canucks uniforms before too long. But
yeah, because they're just little kids down there.
Little kids. But one who babies. We probably won't see ever, John Stevens.
What are you talking about? Grandpa?
Grandpa. I think he is 34. Which, I mean, Michael Backlund's 34. He scored a goal against the Canucks. But, yeah, John Stevens been with the organization for the last 4 years, I believe. Total leader on the team. Consummate pro. He's one of the players that kind of sets the standards down there in terms of behaving like a professional, training like a professional, etc. But yeah, doesn't usually get on the score sheet, so it was great to see him score 2 goals this weekend, including an empty netter, but they all count.
Yeah. Hey, have you seen the movie Bull Durham?
No, I believe we have talked about this. Maybe this is a future C4 at the movies, if I revive that.
I mean, it's not a hockey movie, it's baseball, but I was going to say that Stevens is maybe the Canucks equivalent of Crash Davis, the veteran that comes in to help the young kids out in Bull Durham. It's a pitcher by the name of Nuke LaLoosh.
That's it. He is Crash. Crash is him. Also, more related to the NHL team, Pod Colson was back. And he played a really good couple of games this weekend. Yeah. Back to his old self, maybe not quite, but, you know.
Yeah.
Looking good in the AHL, which is all we can ask for at this current moment.
Apparently, Chanel had a broadcast appearance?
Yeah, so a friend of the show, Chanel Keenan, who we have had on to talk about her experience as a diversity consultant with the Kraken, was on the Bruins broadcast tonight. If you haven't seen the clip, it is. We retweeted it at the C4 podcast. I'm still using tweet because...
That's what it is. We don't advertise there, so there's no GFY moment for us. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
No? There was a conference or... something, I think it's called book desk or book deal or I don't know what. Anyhow, Elon was on stage with Andrew Sorkin, and at some point in the conversation, when advertising came up, Elon likened the advertisers leaving Twitter as being a method of blackmail, and he told advertisers they can GFY. He did use GFY as the acronym. But you wouldn't have needed to understand what the acronym was because he defined it 3 times prior before going to the acronym on stage and specifically called out, you know, Bob Iger of Disney, which cool. The mouse always wins. Never fight the mouse.
Very true. Yeah. But anyhow.
Off the rails. Sorry, Chanel. I did not mean to take away from that.
Yeah, friend of the show, Chanel, spoke so well on what inclusion and representation means in the hockey media space. So, would encourage everyone to go watch that clip. Can't believe I'm directing someone to a Bruins broadcast, but there we go.
Hey, the Bruins beat Toronto this weekend, and I was all for it. So, and the way they beat them, too.
First NHL game.
Was the Bruins beating Toronto this weekend?
No. Toronto beating Boston at TD Garden before I really knew what hockey was.
Okay. Interesting. Anyway. The PWHL has, was it a 70-some-odd game season or something coming up? I saw that was announced. Things get underway in New Year's Day or day after New Year's.
We watch with interest and reserve judgment until this time.
Yeah. And if you, one final note, if you happen to be curious as to what's going on in Chicago, whole lot of messy, but that's really no different than what's ever going on in Chicago. So,
yeah.
That's all we'll say about that.
Let's leave that there.
Hannah, got some final words of wisdom, thoughts, posers, questions, queries?
We often talk about what shirt I'm wearing during these last few podcasts tonight.
I'm always appreciative that you wear a shirt.
Thanks. Tonight I'm wearing an Island soccer jersey. It's the one with the three sponsorship, aka the most beautiful version. I'm not big into international football. I love this jersey. I half-heartedly support Ireland, I would say, I guess. But, yeah. The reason I'm wearing it is my great-aunt back in Ireland. It's not doing so well, so...
Sorry to hear
just
that.
Thinking of her right now. Yeah, you know, all my family, either in Ireland or elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like we always say, hug your loved ones.
Yeah, very much so. It also takes away from the fact that when you were talking about the Ireland football jersey, I'm like, well, it reminds me that the leading scorer of all time in professional football is retiring. Her last match will be on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll be there.
At Christine Sinclair Place.
Yeah, very much looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing some gooners on the pitch and looking forward to seeing Christine.
Yeah, if you, I unfortunately wasn't able to make it work to get there to watch, although now in the condition that I'm in, probably for the best. It is going to be broadcast both on OneSoccer, which is streaming only unless you subscribe to TELUS, and then it will be on TSN as well. So tune in and watch. Anyone were to tell you who has scored the most goals professionally, it is Christine Sinclair. And if they were to say, oh, but she is a woman, trust me, they don't know what they're talking about. Yeah. I mean, she is, but let's be honest, she is the GOAT.
Truly overused phrase, but it applies here.
Yeah. So here we are, end of an episode. I did not pass out, or if I did, the magics of production. You don't know if it happened. The cat did not jump onto the microphone. The dogs didn't go ballistic more than one time. I think this is all in all a good episode. If you wanted to join us in the conversation at any point to talk about anything under the sun, C4 Discord is the place. It's discord.io/C4podcast. Easiest way to join in. You can follow us on Twitter at the C4 Podcast, though I think every one of our listeners already does. But if you don't follow us on Threads, which is very possible, or at the real C4 Podcast there, though it doesn't actually have as much activity than Twitter, simply because that account is just me and there's no mechanism for Anna to join in on that conversation there, whereas at least with Twitter, we can create like the team thing. If you want to support our show, because again, the C4 High Knox Hockey Podcast is brought to you by Anna and Chris. Throw a few bucks our way by going to support.c4podcast.com, which will take you over to Buy Me a Coffee, or as Anna and I like to call it,
Buy Me a Pint.
And you can contribute either a one-off amount to quite literally buy us a pint, or alternatively, you can contribute on a monthly or annual basis to help us keep the lights on. And a further reminder, any ads that you hear on this show, do not give us nothing unless Anna or I read it, which I guess with the power of AI could happen without our know-so, but... I think you'd be able to tell if it's AI or if it's Anna or Chris. AI will sound professional, Anna or Chris, not so much.
Yeah, so hit skip, especially if it's a gambling app.
Yeah. But on behalf of Anna, A4Size03, myself, Chris, at Lifeforce, I'm going to sign off this week's episode with We Out.